What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Thursday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are with you till 10 a.m. this morning. I'm Sean Pendergast.
Yay.
He is Seth Payne. I have good energy today, Seth. I think you got good energy today because I want to thank the Rockets for running the Nuggets off the floor. By the end of the third quarter, I didn't have to stay up and watch the whole game last night. Because tonight's game starts at 9 against the Kings. So
the Rockets, you know what? My big complaint and criticism was they turned that into a boring game.
Yeah,
you've got the top scoring team in the league out there with a couple minutes left in the second quarter. They had 32 points, and then the Nuggets did, and then they rattled off a few. But I think the most encouraging thing about what that was, yeah, the Rockets had a nice lead. They were playing great defense, as they tend to do, and the Nuggets never threatened.
Nope.
Jokic or no Jokic. It's it was just a steady bludgeoning at altitude all night long.
Yeah,
it was a gratifyingly boring game.
Yes, anytime the game is in the Mountain or Pacific time zone, I'm here for boring. If boring means that one team or the other is up by 20 in the third quarter, I am here for that. Just based solely on sleep patterns.
Okay, let's just go with our gut feel. I'm curious what the listeners think of this.
Okay.
Yeah, there have been times this year where the Rockets have squandered huge leads.
Yes.
I think we're at a point where I wasn't nervous or worried about it.
No.
I just felt like, all right, no, they've got these guys locked. Whenever Russell Westbrook is hitting threes, I'm like, yep. Just keep up with it. They're like, okay, good, good. Yeah. We got him right where we want him.
Not sustainable.
I was hoping Russell was going to attempt like 10 more threes.
Yeah.
Because, we'll just sit back and we'll play our, we'll keep the paint nice and packed.
Yep.
And you go do your thing, Russell Westbrook.
I think it's been fun watching this team kind of evolve and learn as the first half of the season. We're almost halfway through the season already. And they're 27-12 now, and they play the Kings tonight. They play Portland on Saturday. Like, these are two... You know, two winnable games. Back-to-back's always tricky on the road, regardless of who you're playing. But they're the better team tonight, at least. We'll see what happens. And then they got Detroit coming up at home next week. And Detroit's better than they've been lately. They're a 500 team now. And then those two Cleveland games. So it'll be a whole lot of fun. But it's been fun. Like, early in the season, they were losing. You know, they started to win, but they had lost some games to teams you shouldn't lose to. They've started to be really good at taking care of business against bad teams. Like,
right.
Really taking care of business. And then you're right. They lost those two back-to-back leads against Minnesota and Miami, I think, that they lost those two games to at home. I think they're going to learn from that. Like, I think Ime Udoka is a really good coach. I think he's really hard on these guys. I think he keeps them accountable. So I think we're not going to see, as this team matures, I don't think we're going to see, like, really disturbing patterns in their play like we did earlier in the year. Like,
yeah,
I think they're going to button it down.
Yeah, that might be the biggest pleasant surprise of this team is that they seem to be ahead of schedule, or at least ahead of where I thought they would be in terms of being a mature basketball team. Mm-hmm. I think maybe for the last couple of years, we've just been kind of thinking like, well, yeah, you got this young core, and you'll see how they develop. But you always figure you're going to lose a few along the way. You know, you don't really know if Jalen Green is going to develop into what he is, the Şengün, et cetera. And yet, there they are.
Yeah.
And credit to Udoka once again. I mean, he's just that. He's really one of the more underrated coups in sports over the last several years was the Rockets kind of just sliding that one in under the table.
Yeah.
All the other teams in the league were kind of like, oh, I don't know, there's some smoke here. I don't know if we want to take a
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if it's right for us to take a shot at Udoka right now. And the Rockets are like, what are you guys doing? Like, all right, it makes too much sense.
Yeah.
And then boom, there you go.
And you and I talked about this. Like, they inside the building, they involved everybody in that decision too. So
yeah.
there was buy-in from top down throughout the organization on that decision, and it's worked out great. He's been amazing. You know, I think it's a young team. And I know Fred VanVleet takes a lot of heat for his shooting. You know, he's very streaky. But I think his maturity as sort of the floor general on that team is definitely something that Udoka buys into. You know, like Udoka. This is going to be a little bit of a awkward analogy, because I think Fred VanVleet is a better player than this player, but it's a little bit like Dusty Baker was with Martin Maldonado. You know what I mean? Like he just feels better having him out there on the field, because he feels like he's a leader. He sees things going on out there. I think it's similar to D'Amico Ryans and Azeez Alshire, if you want to know the truth. Like, I think those coaches like having some version of themselves out on the field, you know, like like a coach on the field kind of. I think every coach probably would love to have that sort of thing. And so maybe Azeez is a better analogy than Maldonado, just because Azeez is on the level of a player as Fred VanVleet is. You know?
Yeah, the aging floor general in football and baseball. That's an interesting comparison.
Yeah.
Probably more of a podcast topic.
Yeah,
let's do 3 hours after the show. Where we go through the who are the aging floor, because that's the other problem. Like, Azeez isn't aging. You know, he's still very much in his athletic prime.
Yeah.
So some combination of Azeez Alshire and Martin Maldonado. I feel like both Azeez and Fred VanVleet would be better at the plate, like right now,
than Maldonado
in Major League Baseball. Yeah.
I'm just thinking of coaches like having those eyes and ears that they feel confident in. Out there. So that was good. That was good last night. Rockets tonight against the Kings. 9 o'clock tip off tonight. So this is fun. Somebody texted in yesterday that, as long as we're talking about the Azeez and Fred VanVleet thing, someone texted yesterday, I really like having the two teams that are playing right now for, you know, the Astros aren't playing right now. The Rockets and the Texans, like, I really like that these are like defensive oriented, like dog kind of teams, you know?
Which is
interesting in this day and age where offense seems to sell more.
Supposedly, yet in the NBA, they're having all kinds of conversations about how do we limit all this scoring?
That's the way they're doing
the game.
It's so boring watching everybody just chuck threes all the time. You know,
everybody. Well, this is what, in general, people say they want what they want, but we know science tells us that people don't actually know what they want. So you try to look at what they actually respond to.
Yeah.
I think ideally, most people, what they really want is you want an exciting game that has scoring, but A, you want your team to score more than the other team.
Correct.
B, you want your defense to be the one that makes the league boring, but nobody else's. As long as we're making things boring, I can enjoy that.
That's right.
That's the problem with defensive anything. Only that one team's fans really appreciate and enjoy it.
Yeah.
Everybody else is like, this is a snooze fest.
All right. Well, let's hope that the Texans make the NFL playoffs super boring for everybody.
Now, this is an exception, where if the Texans' defense were to assassinate the king.
Yeah, the dictator.
The peasants around the USA would be just ecstatic. They would embrace Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter and D'Anico Autry. And they'd be like, who are these other guys? Yeah, we like them too.
Hail Sting,
Mario Edwards.
The wicked Kermit is dead. That's right. That's right.
The wicked Kermit?
Mahomes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I thought maybe there was a Muppets where Kermit died. He went dark.
No.
He just
probably is somewhere on the internet.
Kermit the Dark Knight.
People taking a lot of liberties with Kermit through the years.
Look, Pat Mahomes, he's never lost a divisional game, which makes sense. I had never really thought about it or heard it when people said it, but all right, he's never lost a divisional game. The closest margin they ever had was the year that they did rest Mahomes for a good chunk, and they ended up winning a squeaker versus the Browns in the divisional round.
He got hurt in that game.
He got hurt in that game, but in the fourth quarter, it was still a close game in the fourth quarter.
No, it wasn't. Chad Henne was in there for the Chiefs. You're right.
Yeah, no, but he'd also, it was the longest rest Mahomes had had before that round.
Oh, okay.
So because themes this week is there's rust. Yeah, these guys, a lot of the starters for the Chiefs won't have played for 23 days by the time they play in that game. So the last time they actually went into a game where you might think there was a rust factor, they played a bit of a squeaker to the Browns.
Yeah. No, it was a close game when Mahomes was in. I thought you meant they rested him in that game. I'm like, that would be weird.
Yeah, you thought I was wrong is what you're saying. Typically. No, yeah, I got you.
I misunderstood you.
There goes Seth again, not knowing what he's talking about.
I misunderstood you. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Thursday. I was listening on the way into some national radio, and if disrespect is a theme, I was thinking about this, Seth. If disrespect is a theme, which it seemed to be with the Texans on Saturday, I think Mahomes probably has a little bit of that fuel going as well. This other AFC divisional round game was. Is providing, I think, probably a little fuel for Mahomes with as much attention as the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson storyline is getting. You know, people saying like, hey, this might be the de facto AFC title game. The winner of this should be the MVP of the league. I would imagine Patrick Mahomes, who routinely makes it to the Super Bowl ahead of both of those guys, is probably looking at this going, hey guys, I'm right over here, you know.
Yeah,
if the Texans are certainly getting their share of disrespect again if they want to fuel it that way. I think Mahomes is actually getting some this week too, just based on that other game. You know,
I think the other thing too is people are just looking at it like, well, okay, it's going to be a boring game because the Chiefs are going to roll over the Texans. The one thing I guess where maybe the Chiefs look at it is, hey man, you guys aren't really paying attention. Is the fact that the receiving core for the Chiefs is a much different one than he had for much of the season, just because Hollywood Brown is healthy in there. Xavier Worthy is now, he's played his entire rookie season. DeAndre Hopkins has had time to acclimate and get into it. Mahomes hasn't thrown an interception since, I believe, the month of November. They've become a more efficient team and more like the old Mahomes offense, and I think just because of narratives being set and everything, I don't think a lot of people realize that. As far as the rust factor goes, here's the actual stat. They've clinched the number one seed four times. This is just the second time when they've clinched early enough to rest their starters. The other time was in 2020, and they came off that bye week to beat the Browns 22-17. That was the narrowest playoff opening victory in Mahomes' career.
That's good news.
Maybe rust was a factor.
Yeah.
And now this is like a double bye week for the Chiefs. They're going to have had two full weeks off. Let's hope that's a thing.
I think it needs to be. And I think the Texans need to get off to a fast start in this game. I think it has the dual effect of not only actually taking a lead on the scoreboard, but maybe dulling the crowd a little bit too. That's gonna be a nasty crowd in Kansas City. All right,
dull them.
Yep. All right. Payne and Pendergast text message. There is an evil Kermit. Look it up. Evil Kermit meme. Oh, I'm sure there's evil everything on the internet for sure. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Let's keep it moving. Deontay Johnson got picked up yesterday. this was maybe at least headline wise the wildest story that I saw yesterday. And then you see the story behind it, and I think a lot of Texan fans are wondering, why did the Texans let Deontay Johnson go in the first place? Well, I think there's good reasons. We'll explain, we'll discuss, and we'll hear from the Chiefs as well we'll hear from some of the national pundits, the disrespect on this game maybe, or respect the Texans are getting. We'll do that next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Stay there.
From the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, if you're into weird headlines, the one that got pushed to my phone yesterday afternoon, Deontay Johnson. Well, first of all, just merely Deontay Johnson picked up off waivers was a weird headline. I'm like, really? He's getting a fifth opportunity this year?
Well, and immediately I thought, all right, well, is this somebody the Texans are going to see in the playoffs?
Yes.
And what are the rules on this anyway? I don't quite know.
It could be the Bills because he was on the Ravens this year. You know, like...
Somebody the Texans might see in the playoffs.
I'm saying the Bills might pick him up because they play the Ravens this week.
So the rules are you pick him up off of waivers. You're not allowed to play him in the playoffs.
Right.
So that's the first thing.
Right.
So don't worry, everybody. Deontay Johnson's formidable and impressive understanding of the Texans playbook will not be used against us.
Right.
They haven't captured a bunch of our Apache helicopters.
Nope.
And then figured out how to fly them. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was a weird headline to begin with, just because. Who's picking him? Right, he can't play. The Ravens are picking him up. That made the headline even weirder because they were one of the teams that waived him. They were the team that waived him a few weeks ago. You dig a little deeper on this, and some might say, like, okay, well, this is what makes the Ravens the Ravens. You know, they're playing chess here. You know, they're bringing him in. They're signing him, basically, or they're picking him back up. So that if and when he leaves to go somewhere in free agency next year, and this is very wishful thinking on behalf of the Ravens, that they'd get a compensatory pick for him. You know, and I don't think he's going to sign a big enough deal to where it's a third rounder, which is the biggest compensatory pick you can get.
Right.
Probably a sixth.
Oh, definitely didn't. Yeah,
he ain't getting, you know, 4 years, $100 million or anything like that.
But that's what the Ravens are really, really good at picking up compensatory picks.
Yeah.
Adding them up over time. They're awesome at it.
So if he signs somewhere, you know, even for a minimum level deal and the compensatory formula works out, they can pick up a day three pick for him, maybe, if a team wants him. I think that's questionable to begin with. I think the question that Texan fans would have would be like, well, why didn't you just keep him, Texans, and get a compensatory pick for him when he left? I think there's two answers to that. I think one is they just don't want him in the building. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there would be too many questions about, like, why'd you pick him up if you're just going to make him inactive every week? And number two, and I think this is the big one, they're a banged up football team. They need the roster spot right now. You know, like if he's not going to get on the field and they don't want him in the building, they don't want to be operating in the playoffs with a 52-man roster. Like they need guys. The Ravens have been a remarkably healthy team this year. You know, like their guys that are out and inactive every week are guys that are actually healthy scratches at this stage of the season. The Texans' inactive list is by and large guys that are super banged up or literally unable to play in the football game, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's why.
That's neither here nor there. I guess the real question just becomes, all right, what is this Texans receiving core? And Deontay Johnson isn't the X factor that I was hoping that he could be. It really comes down to, man, we saw Xavier Hutchinson with a big time. It wasn't like it was a hard catch or anything. It was wide open, but a big time moment in that game.
Yeah.
John Mechie had opportunities. And on that 99-yard touchdown drive, he was an integral part of that. But is there anything that could click in John Mechie to where all of a sudden he's got good hands between last week and this week?
Did he come into the league with bad hands? Like, he was drafted in the second round.
He's had issues with drops and everything the entire time he's been here.
Right.
So I don't know. Whatever the issue is and whatever the knock on him was at Alabama or anything else, it's been an issue.
Yeah.
And he's past the point where, his ordeal and his recovery from cancer was obviously a very justifiable excuse for a lot of underperformance early on. I mean, in the game the other day, he's getting open. He's physically doing it. He's just got to hold on to the football.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what the answer is to it, Seth, except that they don't have a choice. they've got a role with Nico Collins, who is a clear-cut number one wide receiver, and then John Mechie, Xavier Hutchinson, and Robert Woods, who I don't think would crack the top three or four on Kansas City. You know, DeAndre Hopkins is better than those guys. Xavier Worthy is better than those guys, or at least more dangerous. Hollywood Brown, more dangerous for sure, and probably better than those guys, you know. And then you add in that their tight end, even aging, is light years better than what the Texans are trotting out there at tight end.
Oh, goodness.
You know
what I
mean?
Especially in the playoffs. Right. Given that we've already seen Kelce, whose year wasn't as bad as I feel like it's being framed by a lot of people.
Like 90 catches.
I know. Yeah, I know. It's
it's wild.
Again, the narratives that are set like in the first half of the season, they tend to stick the entire time through. And I'm like trying to jog my memory on things, and I'm going through. It's like, oh, yeah, he had 9 catches in this game. He had 8 in this one. I think that it's funny with the Texans, because the offense never really clicked and gelled the entire time, even when you had 3 really good wide receivers on the roster. You almost forget that, oh, yeah, they were struggling, but now they also don't have 2 of the top 3 receivers with whom they were struggling. And after Stephon Diggs got injured, the offense really started to nosedive.
Yeah.
But because the offense was never quite where you wanted it to be, it almost doesn't feel like that you're that damaged right now, because you didn't fall from that lofty a perch. And yet, yeah, it's a factor when you just don't have the speed of Tank Dell and the route running savvy of Stephon Diggs out there.
They've got to be able to run the football in this game. It's non-negotiable. They have to be able to competently run the football in this game to open things up for these guys. Like, Nico's the only guy they have right now that can really get open and beat guys in front of him. You know what I mean?
And especially also, I think, using Mixon as a wide receiver, or as a receiver, and a Gumbawale as a receiver, however you come by it. One of the things they did well last week was, okay, they utilized their short game. They did a lot of stuff. They've done it in the last couple weeks where you feel like, okay, yeah, where was this earlier in the year? Why did it? Yeah, sure. Have Nico Collins attack every area of the field, not just screens, as him getting involved in the short game. That was good. You're doing it against a very good defense, and a defense that's been more battle-tested in the playoffs than the Ravens guys you were seeing last week. So, or at least, I guess, more battle-proven in the playoffs. And but I think Mixon as a receiver, Damian Pierce perhaps as a guy that can come in and give Mixon a blow as a runner. Because that was one of the things Slowick said yesterday. It was frustrating. You know, he said, yeah, Mixon, yeah, he's really good as a receiver. We kind of moved away from it because we wanted to keep him fresh as a runner. And there is a part of me that wondered, like, okay, yeah, but the run game really wasn't working.
No.
And maybe it could have been helped out by using Mixon as a receiver a little bit more.
Yeah.
When I asked Casario how come Damian, if he had this in him, why weren't they able to get him the ball throughout the season? Nick said that, well, because Mixon's really good, so you're going to have Mixon out there. All right, but the offense sucked. So if it meant Damian or somebody else getting more carries, but then you could loosen Mixon up and use him more as a receiver at times, I would have preferred that. I would have preferred good offense. And then instead of at times giving Mixon the ball so he could run into a brick wall against teams like the Lions over and over and over again.
Yeah, I just don't think this has been an offense this season. I heard the same cut you did. We'll play it in the next segment. Bobby Slowik said it in his press conference yesterday. And my feeling is, like, you're not an offense that can be choosy about how you go about moving the football down the field.
I was like, yeah, like, well, we got to get Mixon his touches in the run game even when we're doing nothing with those touches in the run game.
Yeah, it made no sense.
Just go ahead, let him explore the space a little bit. Get him out there.
Yeah, it made no sense.
He's like a border collie. You can't keep him pent up behind the line of scrimmage all day long. You got to let him go run in an open field.
That's right.
Throw a frisbee to him.
That's right. Tennis ball, something. Text message, how does Noah Brown sound right now? He sounds injured. I get what you're saying. Like, Noah Brown is a receiver that actually had a couple big games for the Texans last year when they were undermanned at receiver. And he's done some good things for Washington this year. But like always, Noah Brown is on injured reserve at the end of the year. Like,
that's how Noah Brown sounds. He's unavailable because of injury.
Yeah, that's how he sounds. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. So what are the same talking heads that disrespected the Texans last week? Have they come around on the Texans now? Is anybody providing any fuel for a cigar party in the Kansas City, in the visitors' locker room in Arrowhead Stadium after the game on Saturday? Rex Ryan was the chief perpetrator amongst national voices last week. The Rex Ryan bye week pack is what Mixon was smoking. What does Rex Ryan think about the Texans this week?
Well, it's certainly not a bye week, is it? Oh, my goodness. I think Houston has a chance here, and because I'm not going to ignore what I just saw. I'm not going to ignore it. That pass rush was absolutely ferocious, and it wasn't just against the five offensive linemen. They kept shipping, you know, your superstar right tackle for the Chargers that I can't stand is overrated as hell. But anyway, they couldn't block them. They could not block them. And so to me, yes, that's a problem. What's the Achilles heel for Kansas City's offense? Pass protection. This team, and I get it. I know they beat them by 8 points in the regular season in a game. I get it. But they look different. For some reason, something clicked to that football team, and they look different.
Azeez Alshire is one of the reasons they clicked. And this is where it's critical to have Azeez Alshire out there versus Pat Mahomes. Yes, the Texans got a really good pass rush in terms of winning their one-on-one matchups in the game versus the Chiefs a few weeks ago. They just couldn't get Mahomes on the ground. And then Mahomes does what he does, which is it's not when he scrambles. When he scrambles, when he's running towards the perimeter, that's where he's really dangerous in the pass game. The scary thing about him as a runner is when he just hits it right up the middle. Because, as D'Amico pointed out, it's because he's got yardage instantaneously there. It's not dragging things out. Guys don't have time to rally to him if they're out of position. He's getting yardage immediately. Azeez Alshire, A, is smart. B, can run and is a better matchup, you know, in the open field or anticipating Mahomes coming up to the line of scrimmage. But also see, Mahomes saw what happened to Trevor Lawrence. I think Mahomes is going to make business decisions, wisely so, not in a cowardly fashion, but the menacing presence of number zero, which is what everybody calls him because it kind of, because A, I don't think they know how to pronounce his last name, and B, it shows up. You're like, well, that zero is everywhere. I keep seeing that zero on the sidelines and then in coverage and then up in the defensive backfield. I think just the psychological menace, the threat of Azeez right there, hopefully dampens Mahomes' ability to run a little bit.
Somebody texted in earlier about the Texans. Oh, here it is. The Texans can win against the Chiefs if Azeez works his magic, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but we can't lose him for the game, though. We
got to
be sure we don't lose him for
that's a pretty good trade-off. Aziz gets ejected and Mahomes gets, you know.
If that were the case.
I think
okay,
that's his magic they're referring to.
Sean, in this age of sound bites and the
Trevor
internet,
Lawrence,
I'm not even going to.
Pixie dust.
I'm not going there, man. Okay. Not going there. I think, though, that what if Mahomes starts trying to, like, bait him? Like, try to, like,
he know, will
lure him into an illegal.
He
into
will.
Illegal hit
he's
or
the.
Something.
He's
yeah.
the. He. I was most angry after that whole Aziz Trevor Lawrence thing at Patrick Mahomes because of how he uses the rules to his advantage and how he fakes the slide and then just starts taking off and he turns around. He's like, ha ha, gotcha. I don't like that. I don't like using a rule that's used to protect you.
Right.
You know, like you're taking advantage of it.
Yeah, that's a tough one too, because you just can't, but you can't mess with, it's not like you can't make a, you can't have like a statement or a protest by hitting him even though he faked the slide if it means that you're ejected again and gone for the playoffs.
And gone for the playoffs. Like, who, if Aziz, in all seriousness, like if Aziz has another episode like that, and especially if it's against Mahomes, who knows what the punishment is? You know, forget about the rest of the playoffs. You're probably starting the regular season without him next year.
That would be, boy, if you want to fuel conspiracy theories and everything, if Mahomes got away with faking a slide and Aziz had to pull off and then Mahomes takes off. Okay, then now I'm starting to get a feel for why they haven't made it illegal necessarily. Okay, fine.
No wonder they keep tabling this fake slide that everybody wants to get legislated out of the game.
College has done it, but the NFL seems like, oh no,
right.
It was just
if you're looking for somebody to direct your hatred towards, I guess so far this week, maybe Teddy Bruschi.
They were rushing a statue in Herbert that was sitting there the whole time. This is Patrick Mahomes we're talking about. He's going to convert on every third and three where you got man coverage and those guys are rushing up the field trying to get Mahomes. He'll get out of there. That's going to be the difference. Herbert had 0 yards rushing. He did not use his legs at all. This is a different beast at quarterback.
All right, okay. For one, yes, it's a different beast at quarterback. Nobody's going to compare Herbert to Pat Mahomes. But all right, listen, Bruschi, you're old enough now, man. You got to start being careful about just labeling the white guy as a statue. All right, Herbert can freaking run, and I think part of the problem now maybe it means he was playing like a statue. Herbert can run. We know that. That's one of the scary things about him is he's like Roethlisberger sized, but way more athletic or faster than Roethlisberger. I think that was a really good sign for the Texans that they were able to get Herbert down as much as he did, because in the Chiefs game again, the Texans' defensive line was winning a lot of one-on-one matchups. They just didn't get Mahomes on the ground.
Yep.
You gotta figure out a way to get him on the ground.
All right, we'll get to headlines. We'll play that cut from Bobby Slowick about Joe Mixon that Seth was talking about. We'll get you up to speed on the injury report. And the Rockets get a big win last night. We'll do some headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's start with the Texans injury report yesterday. The only one still out on the Texans from practice yesterday was Robert Woods, who's dealing with a hip, which feels like he's one of the oldest guys on the team. And when it's a hip, you know, it always...
It's kind of like when Ed Reed had a hip, you know, and he ended up never, at least with the Texans, wasn't the same guy. He annoyingly went on to play pretty well for the Jets after that.
Did he? I know he played for the Jets. I couldn't recall if he actually played decently for the Jets.
I think he went to the, wherever he went, he played pretty well for, like,
oh, he definitely went to the Jets.
Better than he did with the Texans.
Yeah, he went to the Jets for sure. I just don't remember if he played well. That was Rex. Rex picked him up. Rex was his, you know, they had that history in Baltimore together back in the day. So Robert Woods out with the hip, limited in practice. Aziz Alshire, so he's back practice. That's good news, actually. He didn't practice the day before, so he's practicing again. He's going to play. Juice Scruggs practicing again. Joe Mixon actually went from full participant to limited with an ankle. I'm hoping that's just managing his ankle. That's, you know, it's been an issue at times this year. The interesting one was Shaq Mason, who for the first time since he hurt his knee back, boy, it's been 3 or 4 weeks now. It's been a while.
Yeah.
Shaq Mason is back practicing again. Hey, Ben, let's skip to Slowick 7 here real quick. When Bobby Slowick was asked yesterday, was Shaq practicing again, what offensive line configuration do you plan on going with?
We'll see how Shaq looked as we go through this week. We'll see how Juice looks, and we'll see what we think is the best combination of the five to have out there to help us go win that game. But that really is going to be an ongoing process through the rest of this week up until the game.
Listen, it's not like Juice Scruggs or Shaq Mason have been rock solid solutions at any point this year. They've both struggled. You might think, okay, well, Shaq Mason has more experience, et cetera, et cetera. There's an element to the offensive line right now where Juice Scruggs has been playing right guard. I feel better about the overall play on the offensive line in some respects over these last few weeks. I'm still not happy with it, but they're at least having positive moments. They're still also having their negative moments, but there is something that, okay, sometimes it's working, which is more than what we had earlier in the year for vast swaths of time. So I almost feel like this is how I feel about the offensive line right now. And kids, you're going to have to hang in with me on this metaphor. But everybody remembers when you were like the 12-year-old that had to go grab the rabbit ear's antenna. And, okay, move it. Okay, no, hold it. Okay, now hold it up above your head.
Stay there.
Yeah.
Stay there.
Touch the lamp.
Yep.
Touch the lamp with your other hand. Okay. Okay.
Stay right there.
We can watch the last... We can watch the last 5 minutes of Archie Bunker. You know, like, okay, it's not the perfect solution.
Right.
But we've got the antenna position just right for now.
I love that.
It'll work as long as there's no lightning.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about the O-line. Don't jostle things around. Don't mess with it. It's not, we don't need to tinker. There's no time to tinker. And our tinkering previously had it not been working. Just hold the antenna right where it is. Don't put Shaq Mason back in.
It's a fantastic analogy. I would just say quite simply, your best and most important drive of the year was the last drive of the previous game with those five guys out there.
Yeah.
You know, like, those five guys were out there and you ran the ball 13 straight times and closed out the game with a touchdown on 4th and 1. Like, why why would you, like, that? Like, honestly, and it's not like you're disrupting it to bring in Will Shields to play guard or something like that. It's Shaq Mason, who's not been good this year.
Sean, the Texans actually being able to run the ball 13 times in a row against a very good NFL defense.
Yeah.
It might as well, given the level of difficulty and adjusting for skill level, that was like Lance McCullers 24 straight curveballs.
Right.
It's like, you're like, what? This is you shouldn't be able to get away with that, should you? The Texans are running the ball?
Yeah.
How many straight times?
13 straight times.
13 straight
13,
times.
Yeah.
My God. It's a broke-ass version of 24 straight curveballs.
That's it. That's it. And so, honestly, if you put Shaq Mason back in there, it's just veteran privilege to me at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like it is like Maldy getting in there instead of Yiner in a way. You know, like, Shaq's the guy we're comfortable with in there. You know, like, it's,
yeah. It feels almost like overthinking it.
Very
like,
much.
Well,
so.
Yeah, or just kind of going from the rule book or the guidebook. Like, oh, okay, veteran experience, cool name. They both have cool names.
They do both have cool
Shaq
names.
Shaq and Juice are very cool names.
Very cool names. Yeah, very cool name. I ultimately think this is, you and I talking about this will be much ado about nothing. I think it is going to be the same five guys that
just
they put out there.
Yeah, not slow.
He doesn't need to answer the question. Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, he doesn't have to answer the question. So Joe Mixon.
Master strategist.
Chess player, man. He's a chess player.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon. This was Bobby Slowick yesterday on their use, explaining the use of Joe Mixon, or maybe lack thereof, in the passing game.
I think he's a really good receiver, actually. I know, you know, we worked it a lot in camp. Like, I'm sure all you guys saw that. We did a good amount of it in camp. We did some of it early in the year, you know, and I think as the year has gone, probably have gotten away from that a little bit. Wanted to make sure he was fresh for some of his carries, but without a question, that's something that's on my mind and been on my mind. Like, how can we make sure we make use of a guy that we think is an excellent player?
Yeah, it's been on my mind almost like it's a song lyric or something. You know, hey, like he's thinking, he's off in a meadow thinking about Joe Mixon running. Yeah. He needs to have a revelation where he goes to sit in that meadow and in his mind he sees Joe Mixon galloping towards him on a wheel route. And,
on a wheel route.
Yes. Yeah.
Specifically on a wheel route.
Give me a little angle route, something like that. This is exactly where it bothers me. It's all right. How about in those games where you guys could not pee a drop versus good run defenses? Yeah. Maybe then would be a time to not save him so he can be fresh to run into a brick wall. Maybe then you can explore the space a little bit. This is everything about a young offensive coordinator, I think, compared to a guy like, say, Andy Reid. I was thinking about that this morning. Is, man, how much coaching and coordinating matters. If take Pat Mahomes, and in his first full year as a starter, his second year as a full-time starter, Bobby Slowick is his offensive coordinator instead of Andy Reid.
Right.
And it's a different scenario. It's a much different scenario, I think.
Yeah, no, Andy Reid, he's the best. No question.
So there's another question for the offseason, obviously. Unless they can go out and trade for Andy Reid as the offensive coordinator, you gotta wonder, okay, is somebody else better, or is it Bobby just the growing pains?
Well, if the offense looks the way it did in the second half on Saturday and they win the game...
Yeah,
and then
they go
to Buffalo. I mean,
you're right. I should even table any of that kind of stuff because it's kind of depressing to think about the offseason decisions. Like, right, yeah, hopefully this is a stretch when Bobby catches lightning in a bottle as an offensive coordinator and he figures it all out.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping what we saw on Saturday is maybe everybody growing a little bit here.
We come in here on Monday and you are just a complete fraud and you're like, I've been telling everybody all year long. Yeah. It's just a matter of time. Just a matter of time until boy genius Bobby Slowick grows into that hat of his.
That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. You think anybody will go back and fact check me on that? Come in? Yeah.
No, don't worry. If there's anything I've learned from some people who are wildly successful in media, don't worry about it.
Right.
Just go ahead.
Right.
You don't flip and flop enough, Sean.
I know.
You got to go coward on this thing. Just flop right over.
Stop being so honest. Yeah.
Yeah. People are going to fact check you. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, if they do, big deal. Yeah. You know who's not fact checking me? My employer.
My bank.
That's right. Chase
Hopefully
Bank.
The IRS, yeah. as you were telling me during the break.
Yeah, they were. They haven't fact checked me yet.
Hold on a second.
Yeah.
A little selfish here. I got to write down a note.
Okay.
There was some correspondence I was supposed to return to the IRS 5 weeks ago that I have not.
They're very forgiving. Don't worry about it. Yeah, they're very flexible.
You know what, though? They kind of are.
Are they?
When it comes to administrative stuff, it's like they're like, listen, we're a bloated bureaucracy. We get it. Okay.
And let's be real. Like, look around society. Even forgetful Seth is probably in the top 10% of, like, people they deal with, you know, like in terms of like ease of doing business.
Well, the first correspondence they sent me, it was sent via first class mail. So it wasn't like, you know, that's very, you know, that stuff gets lost in the mail and everything all the time. If I had gotten a registered letter, I would have been more expedient.
Right. Rockets win last night, 128-108 over the Denver Nuggets. No Jokic for the Nuggets, but who cares? The Rockets boat race these guys from the first quarter on. They were up by 20 in the second half. They allowed those of us with early rising jobs to go to bed early in the fourth quarter. That was really cool. And Jalen Green, now we saw this last year with Jalen Green's been amazing the last few weeks. He scored 34 again last night, and he was putting on a show. We saw this in March of last year where he was in the running for player of the month, if you remember that. He had that huge month, and then in April he kind of turned back into the old Jalen Green again. That month in March last year was not against good competition. That was the big caveat with all of it. Was like, all right, this is a pretty weak schedule you're playing. They're playing good teams on this stretch right here. I mean, they Denver. I know no Jokic, but like, you know, but it's Denver in Denver, altitude and all that. You beat the Grizzlies a couple of times. You got some nice tests coming up here with Cleveland next week. A couple of games. This feels more real with Jalen Green now than the big March he had last year felt like.
Yeah. I think that he's coming into his own. And I think the surroundings, the environment, him just aging, getting older.
Buying in.
And maturing, buying in.
Yeah.
Taking care of a kid, all that stuff. It's feeling like the way you would have written it and hoped for. All right, it seems to be clicking. And I do think, the fact that you and I both felt comfortable checking out and going to bed with a quarter remaining. That's how it felt. I was not worried that somehow, especially without Jokic, that somehow they were just the Nuggets were gonna make a turnaround.
Agreed. All right, so the Texans and the Chiefs on Saturday, 3:30 kick here on Sports Radio 610. We know the stars need to show up. Who are the others that need to? I've got six names here of guys that need to play their best game of the season if the Texans are going to beat the Chiefs on Saturday. See if you agree. We'll do that coming up next.